Welcome to Notes from the Way. My name is Richard, and this is a weekly get-together where we talk about what it means to live a passionate Christian life in the 21st century. The goal is not just to know about God, but to know Him, for Him to know us, and for Him to change us to become more like His Son. Just want to let you know before we really get started here that sometime in the next few days I'm going to put out a special podcast to give you some ideas about gift shopping, especially shopping for books. This is the one big love of my life, other than my family, has been books and reading. So I want to share with you a few books that I think would make great gifts for the readers or the people who want to be readers on your shopping and gift list. So anyway, that'll be coming out in a couple days. Look for it. I think it'll be helpful. I'll try to pick out a few of my favorites, although there's a bunch. Anyway, so that'll be coming out in a few days. And right now, let's look at the news. In looking at the news today, I want to read just a couple of paragraphs from a story that's from the Christian Post, November 14th. That's christianpost.com. And the headline is, Naughty or Nice List Advises Christians where to Shop for Christmas. This Christmas season, it says, whether a store greets you with Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas makes all the difference where you should do your shopping, says a Christian legal group. Liberty Council is urging Christians to fight back to save Christmas from being erased from the public sphere by shopping at stores that honor instead of disregard Christmas. And this basic story talks about the fact that some stores, a lot of stores, are just saying Happy Holidays when they greet customers, where other stores greet you with a Merry Christmas. And this group, Liberty Council, is saying that you should boycott or not shop at stores that say Happy Holidays, and instead spend your money where they say Merry Christmas. I'm sure these people at Liberty Council have a good heart and their hearts are in the right place, but, you know, sometimes, and this is a gripe I have about a lot of Christians, sometimes even myself, sometimes we can be very, very clear and excited and upset about things that don't really matter all that much. And let me share with you what I mean by saying that it doesn't matter that much. You know what really dishonors Christmas and the Spirit of the Lord who came on Christmas Day to me? Let me read you the experience of more than one Chinese pastor, Christian pastor. This is from the World Serve organization who works with a church in persecuted church in different countries. And listen to this. Imagine sitting on cold, muddy ground, only a huge box of lights and wire in front of you. And this is talking about Christian pastors having to make Christmas lights by hand. Without tools of any kind, you must assemble 3,000 to 5,000 lights per day. There's no time for rest or breaks. Quickly, your fingers become numb and bloody. Your teeth serve as your only crimping tools, and even as you work to complete your task, you know that you will be beaten severely if you don't get it all done. These are people that work in prison labor camps. They're being re-educated, as they call it, through labor. Let's see, just tell you some of the things that they have to go through here. They're thrown in jail without trial. They're beaten. They have a 500-calorie-per-day diet, if you can imagine that, which is two small bowls of soup and a roll. They work hard labor for 16 to 20 hours a day. If they don't meet their quota, they're beaten and sent back to finish the job, even if that means that they don't get any sleep. Some of them have reported only receiving one glass of water a day. And their choice is to either drink it or to use it for a shower. Now, the fact that we buy stuff, and I am guilty of this, and, you know, my family, I know my wife and I were real careful when we first got married not to buy stuff that was made, especially in China, because China is one of the biggest offenders here as far as persecuting the church. And we were real careful about not buying stuff made in China, but, you know, we've gotten sloppy, especially since we've had kids, because it's just so easy, because there's so much stuff, so much of the stuff we buy that we think we need is made in China. But, you know, I just want to encourage you that if you want to honor Christmas and honor the Christ of Christmas, then stand up for His church this Christmas season and don't buy all the junk that's made in China. Look for something that's not made there. Does that mean you might have to buy your kids something that you know, they don't know that they want, or you might not be able to buy them every little gadget and gizmo that they think they want? Yeah, it might mean that. But you know what? Is standing up for your brothers and sisters in Christ worth it? I think it is. You know, my wife and I have talked about it a little bit, and we're going to make a commitment to not buy stuff that's put together and made in China this Christmas season for the gifts that we haven't bought yet. And I would like for you guys to make that same commitment because, you know, there's no excuse for this. And, you know, for this Liberty Council, like I said, I'm sure their hearts are in the right place, but their brains aren't. They need to be standing up for the fact, if they want to stand up to the corporate people who are dishonoring Christmas, then they need to be standing up to the companies that are importing all this garbage that's made with prison labor. You know, there's no excuse for it because it could be made, yeah, we might have to pay a few extra cents or a dollar more for everything we buy. But that would be okay. If that keeps my brothers and sisters out of jail, I think that's perfectly worth it. So I hope that you'll join with me here. And, you know, sometimes we need to major on what's important. And if you really want to honor the Christ of Christmas, I think we do it by standing up for his people who don't have a voice. Those Christians can't, you know, we can't petition the government and say we want out. I mean, they can, but they're likely to be beaten even more for doing it. And we need to stand up and say, until you have true religious freedom in your country, and anybody can worship as they please, we're not going to buy your stuff. And if every Christian did that, things would change all over the world. But the problem is that we want cheap stuff just like everybody else. Sometimes being a Christian and being changed in our mind and our thinking means that we need to look at life a different way. Now, let me be clear about what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is that even if they don't use Christians in their labor camps to put together their goods, which I know they say at this point that they've stopped doing that, and a lot of companies say, hey, we don't buy stuff that was made with prison labor in China. And whether that's true or not, I don't know. But the fact is that China imprisons Christians because of their faith. And we as a group of believers, as the church in America, need to stand up and say that is not acceptable. It's not acceptable for my brothers and sisters to spend their days and their months and their years living in torturous conditions while I get cheap stuff from the country that imprisons them. And I just want to encourage you that if you want to make a stand also, that you make a stand this Christmas, starting this Christmas, and say, I'm not going to stand for it anymore, and to let the places where you shop know it. I guarantee you that Christians buy enough stuff in this country that we can make a difference. So I hope the Liberty Council will join with us on this. And you know, it just takes a few of us to start. I hope you'll make this commitment. I'm going to email the Liberty Council and ask them to make as big a deal about this as they do about the Happy Holidays thing. If you want to make this commitment also, let me know. Email me and let me know that you're doing it too. We can encourage each other. Maybe we can see a difference made in this situation. And just maybe we can see some of our brothers and sisters set free. And you know, I think that's a better way to spend Christmas. And knowing that we're working towards a goal like that, I think is a better way to spend Christmas than it is to know that we bought every cheap thing we could find while our brothers and sisters are still being persecuted in China for their faith. And with that, let's go to God's Word. Well, in Scripture today, I just wanted to look at one verse from Galatians chapter 6. You know, I've been thinking about the fact that God places people in our lives to show us more about himself. And I've really never considered this until just recently in my life because it strikes me that in my own life, maybe this isn't true for anybody else that's listening, but in my life, sometimes I think I've missed what God was saying to me because I was less than willing to talk and to take the counsel of other believers, people who loved me, who knew me, for whatever reason. And I was thinking about this in relation to a blog that I was reading. I just ran into kind of by accident. And I believe it's called Grace Roots. I'll put a link to it in the notes for this particular show on the blog. But the poster, the man who runs the blog, Joel, was talking about the masks that we wear and the fact that we aren't authentic and we aren't vulnerable and open and honest with other people in our lives. And it really has gotten me thinking that in a lot of ways that's very true, and I believe that God does place people in our lives to show us more about himself, and because he loves us, he will put people who love us and who care about us into our lives so that they can be a blessing to us. So the verse in Galatians chapter 6 is just this, it's carry each other's burdens, And in this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. And I wonder if when Paul says, talks about the law of Christ, if he's not talking about the great commandment, which is simply to love God with all that you have and love your neighbor as yourself. And it strikes me the one way that we show our love for God and we show our love for our neighbor, for our brother and sister, is by carrying their burdens. And like I said, in my own life, I'm less than willing, because I'm a very independent person, and I've been not willing to let other people carry my burdens, not to even let them know about my burdens. And I think that's really part of the fallen nature. It's part of my fallen nature, I believe. And, you know, I look back at the scriptures back, we have a tendency to conceal ourselves from God. You remember the story of Genesis chapter 2, after Adam and Eve have sinned? What do? They hide from God. One of the first things they do is hide from God, who's coming to look for them. And I think we try to hide from each other. You know, how many conversations have you had in church or Bible study or whatever that sounded like this? Hey, Billy, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How's business going? Oh, business is going great. Couldn't be better. Well, how are the wife and kids? Oh, everything's going perfect. Then you find out from somebody else, you know, secondhand, you find out that Billy's, you know, had the, you know, cancer. You know, his business is failing, and his wife and kids moved out 2 weeks ago. And he's not doing fine at all. But we build walls around ourselves for whatever reason. I think part of it is that we are afraid to be honest and open. And sometimes there's a culture in churches where you are afraid to be anything less than the perfect Christian. And, of course, the perfect Christian is perfect all the time. There's nothing wrong with them. But, of course, that's not reality, and that's not what the Christian life is about. The Christian life isn't you will never have any kind of troubles again. The Christian life is Jesus walks with you and works in you and through you, even in the midst of the worst troubles that you can possibly have. I don't believe it's really God's plan for us to live life separated from people. You know, I think he meant us to live life together. You know, even in the Garden of Eden, it says that you know, Adam was created. God saw that it wasn't good for him to be alone, so he created a partner for him. And you know, I think that goes on. Even, you know, when Christ sent out his followers to tell people about his ministry, tell people that he was coming to their town, he didn't send them out one at a time. He didn't send them out alone. He sent them out two by two. Remember Luke chapter 10? He said he paired them off and sent them out into the countryside. You know, when we're having health problems, God doesn't say just, you know, pray and just stick it out. He says, go to the elders of your church and have them pray for you. Families, another example where we're not meant to be alone, but God built families for us to be in. And he doesn't expect us to be alone in our faith, in our walk of faith either. You know, he wants us to fellowship and to worship and to study and to evangelize and all those things as a group. As people of God, not just the person of God, but people of God. So, you know, I think it's really true that God does speak to us through others. And, you know, it's not just where somebody, you know, comes up to you and says, I have a word from the Lord for you, and he gives you some kind of supernatural word. It's really true that God speaks to us, and he shows us who he is sometimes through the love of other people. We see a fleshed out version of God's love when someone in our that loves us is caring for us. You know, we see his mercy and his compassion when other people are caring for us, and we can show that to other people. And I recognize that sometimes we're in congregations where maybe we don't feel safe to stand up and say, hey, here's all my problems. But, you know, I think it's important, and this is something I'm trying desperately to build in my life, and I hope that you will do this also, that I know that I need to have people, maybe just a few people, in my life that I can trust, people that I can go to when I have a problem or I have a need that needs to be prayed over, people that I can trust that they will give me wise and godly counsel. We all need some of those people in our lives. And I'm not talking about being held accountable or having leadership, because I think that our ideas of leadership in the church are really skewed, and I'm really sorry about that. But the fact is that we all need people in our lives who love us so much that they'll be able to tell us, hey, I think this is what the Lord is doing in your life. I can see this happening, either good or bad. But sometimes we shy away. And I wanted to encourage you, if I can, this week, and as you move ahead, especially in the holiday seasons, we get so busy, and sometimes we get disconnected from the people that are most important to us. But if you have people in your life that you know love you and care about you, and not just on a familial level, but on a spiritual level, where they want to see you grow into the person that Christ wants you to be, I just want to encourage you to reach out to those people. Let them know how much you appreciate them. Let them minister to you, and you minister to them. And if you don't have those people, the first thing I would do today, right now, is to ask God to bring some of those people into your life. And it takes time to build those relationships. That's kind of where I am right now, is trying to build some of those relationships. It takes time and it takes effort, but you know, it's totally worth it. And the great thing is we can trust that God will do that for us. And that doesn't mean that you have to, you're submitting to somebody else's authority. I think we submit ourselves to each other. That's what the Bible says. And we submit ourselves to each other because I want to hear what God has to say to me through my brother who loves me, or my sister who loves me. And I want to know what they have to say, what they're seeing as God working in my life. And I want to be able to do that for them. So I just wanted to encourage you this week that if you're not well connected, if you feel like you're kind of drifting a little bit spiritually away from your brothers and sisters, to ask God to bring people into your life that you can connect with. If you're already connected and centered with some people, let them know how much you appreciate them, because that is a special blessing and a special gift in our lives. And they are the people that can help you carry your burdens just as you help them carry their burdens. And that is a great and terrific gift that God gives to us, as the gift of other people, of people that love us and who want to see us become the people that God created us to be. That's really all we have for this week. I wanted to remind you that sometime in the next couple or 3 days, I'm going to put out another podcast that is just a special book that will make a great gift podcast, because it's something I'm really passionate about, that I love seeing people get turned on to great books and great reading. So anyway, look for that. If you have any comments or any questions, shoot me an email at nftw@sbcglobal.net, or you can leave a comment at notesfromtheway.blogspot.com. Hope that you've enjoyed this week's program, and that you've been inspired and motivated to love God more, and to love people more also. Until next week, God bless.
my side.